I wouldn't call it a loyalty thing as much as, although some people are just simply loyal, I would say people are just, they don't want to be inconvenienced.
Right.
And so that parts kit, it can be so worth that initial upfront cost, in my opinion. Hey, dude, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Bonus episode.
Heck yeah.
All right. I got a topic that's on my top of mind right now. As we talked about recently, just the change in seasons.
Right.
As we're kind of getting everything ready to go.
Yep.
And moving from heat, cooling service, just summertime season to heating season, and how that relates to things on your van, stock, you name it.
Right.
If you haven't listened to that episode, shame on you. You should get on that.
That's right.
But it got me thinking. We were talking recently about, ordering parts for equipment.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I used to install a boiler line quite regularly. I still use their tankless water heaters all the time. That I had from that company, like this big chest, this big foot locker kind of box of parts, basically everything inside the box, more or less, that could be unbolted and rebolted onto the unit.
Okay.
Minus like a heat exchanger or something.
Right.
That has proven to me so valuable over the years. Call comes in, cold call from a company you didn't do the install even, or it doesn't matter, I guess. Just call comes in, hey, we're getting this error code. Quickly look up that error code if you don't have it memorized. And I never memorize these things, by the way. And they're like, that's a flow switch,
Sure.
Go in my shop, dig out a flow switch out of that box of parts for that model.
Yep.
And boom, I'm going to be in business. When I go out to the job, I'm going to have what I need. And then some. I'll be able to get the customer back up and running. If it's under warranty, I'll have the company send me a new part to replace the one I pull out of my kit. Like, that's such
it's handy.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish... Having this conversation makes me think that I need to be calling my Viessmann rep and being like, hey, Chris, buddy, old pal. I know that Viessmann's not on board yet with having a parts kit for the new 100. I know there's been talk of it. I just don't
There wasn't
don't think
even
it's
a parts
available.
Kit for the old one.
Right. And I think that, and especially now with this new 100, it's the same as the 200. So, like, gas valves and fans and igniters and flame rods and, burners, they're the same model to model. Like, the 100.
Size for size.
Yeah, the 85 and the 120 in the 100 have the same burner, fan, and gas valve as the 85 and the 120 in the 200 series.
Sure.
So, they're interchangeable part to part. I think the gas valve... The control board is definitely different because it's the upgraded controls. And then I don't know about the BCU, but it'd be nice to have that. I think actually the BCU might be the same between all of the boilers, but no, don't quote me on that. I could be wrong.
No, there's terminals and stuff that are and aren't available, installed and not installed, all kinds of stuff like that. That's what you're talking about?
No, on the BCU is that...
Oh, the little black box.
Little black box on the left, yeah.
Yeah. The voice recorder and black box.
Voice recorder, the crash recorder.
Yep. No, I get frustrated now. I'm going on a number of years installing that equipment. I started before you, and I was kind of trying to talk you into it along the way because I'm so impressed by it.
Right.
I still am. But yeah, this whole not having a parts kit is bugging me. There are other companies that are like this as well. There are some companies, though, that also, not just the one I was talking about, that was Navien, but not just the one I was talking about. There are others, like IBC has a parts kit that maybe isn't as complete, but it's there. You're going to have like a gas valve inducer. This stuff isn't cheap either. Look, I'm not looking to have you give it to me, although if you want to.
If you want to.
Man, I'd take it. I just want to be prepared when there's a problem. And I guess the whole reason I brought this up, for the younger people out there starting out on their own, you know, younger as in like you're newer to this being, you know, not, you don't have a boss doing this for you.
Sure.
I'm telling you my experience with the parts kit, do it. Do not look at it and go, oh my God, that's $800. I can't believe it. Oh, it's $1,200. Oh man. Well, I'll tell you what, in certain situations, if money is that, if you're looking at that and you simply think that that's the major hurdle in the way, like you don't think it's worth it, I'm going to tell you otherwise, because I have had jobs where having the part meant that I got paid for that service call in right. one trip, got my customer back up and running, and now I have gained a customer.
Yep.
This is a scenario where you can't, you can hardly put a immediate price tag on that. You right. can maybe say, okay, what does it cost you to get a customer? Like, between this amount of money and this amount of money, I'm holding my hands up for anybody just listening. It's like, it's either going to be at least this much. You could spend as much as that to acquire a new customer.
Right.
But if you're doing that organically and, you know, they called you, you had the part, you solved their problem. In this day and age, people are just, it, I wouldn't call it a loyalty thing as much as, although some people are just simply loyal, I would say people are just, they don't want to be inconvenienced.
Right.
And so that parts kit, it can be so worth the that initial upfront cost, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening that's on the fence, you don't think you can afford it, you think it's expensive, I'm going to tell you it's probably a lot more expensive not having it.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, we did a bunch of Navians, and that's the other one that I've been thinking on, because we've got a bunch of the NPE series stuff out there, and I was thinking about that too, going, you know, I don't know why I don't have one of those, because they do make one.
Hey, wait, you don't have one?
I don't have a Navian parts kit sitting on the shelf.
I'm not picking on you, but I will tell you, I have one for each model of Navian that I have personally installed and that have since, I have not installed, but are since now prevalent in my market.
Yep.
Because I go to the training, like they're famous for offering the, hey, come to the level 2 or 3, whatever they call it, training, and we'll give you a parts kit. And it's like, okay, I got to do it anyway. So,
yep, we were signed up. Rob and I were going to go to the NSS training
A year ago, year or two. Yeah.
Something like that. And I don't even remember what happened. They canceled the class and or didn't go through with it. And there we are.
Got to do it. In my opinion, it pays off. Not just for, I mean, they might not even be giving the parts kit at them anymore. That might be a special thing. Like maybe it's the rep that, I don't have any idea, but I got most of my kits that way. I did buy one more recently because I know there's a their new combi is different than the old one.
Oh, okay.
And I know I see it out on jobs already.
Yeah.
And so I know it's being installed a lot around me, and I am a service contractor listed on their site, so I do get calls referred to me from people out in the, you know, homeowners, and I want to be prepared. Look, I put the money up for it, not because this isn't a commercial. They didn't give it to me. Like, I paid damn good money for that kit. You know, but like I said, it pays for itself. It just does. And I can't think of anything that annoys me more. Well, I can probably. That's a stupid statement, but for emphasis, few things are more annoying, put it that way, than going out, being able to diagnose a piece of equipment, like a common thing that I know I should know better because I see them all the time, and then not having the part to fix it.
And no way to get the part.
Yeah.
You know,
or, you know, like why? Yeah. It's not like I can make, like a lot of times we've talked about this in the past. I do my plumbing Uber all the time. Like I have good and courier, 1 hour courier, me parts. You know, I need a universal gas valve because I'm out. Apparently didn't realize I needed it. You know, didn't realize I didn't have one. I can get one delivered to me within an hour, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about the, you know, an obscure part inside of this piece of equipment that like you could have had in a box in your shop or on your van.
Right.
That to me is like super annoying because I've been on both sides of the fence, and I hate telling people, oh, I got to order the part. I'll be back. I'm not sure how long it, you know, just stuff like that is just annoying to me.
Yep. We had a case here the other day, and this is a little bit was a weird one that Rob went out and serviced the boiler, got done servicing the boiler, fires the boiler up, makes a tank of hot water, whatever.
cleans up, leaves.
Satisfied, right? Yep. Cleans up. He's checking out the heat. He goes in, turns a thermostat on in the basement. Boiler fires up, and he walks back into the boiler room, and there's like a little wolf of smoke coming off the top of the boiler. He's like, what the heck?
Oh.
And something happened to the control board. And I don't think it's right. I shouldn't say it this way. There isn't anything Rob could have done that could have caused this. Right? Like it's
sure.
It's one of those kinds of things.
Sure.
There's two little diodes on the top of the main control board right underneath the ignition transformer that are just blown out, roached out.
Just toast.
Yeah. 16-year-old boiler. I'm like, God dang it.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So there we are, you know, just got done servicing a 16-year-old boiler, put some new drain valves and did a flush on it. And I mean, you know, kind of getting her up and going for the winter, you know, boiler's still got some life left in it. And so I call around town. He calls me and we walk through it. And he's like, I see these two bad little diodes here and they're toast. And I'm like, all right, well, that sucks. But okay, let me see if I can find a control board. So I look. One of the local supply houses has one on the shelf. I'm like, perfect. Jacob was wrapping up a job early. I'm like, hey, run out to the supply house, grab that, take it to Rob. You know, because he's all the way across town. It's a 45 minute round trip if Rob's got leaves to go do it. So anyway, Jacob drops this board off to him. Rob puts it in and calls me after, you know, half hour, 45 minutes later and goes, I can't get the dang thing to run. He goes, it lights, but it won't run. I'm like, huh. So we, you know, muscled through a few things here and there. You know, tech support was already closed for the day. And I was like, all right, well, I don't know, man. We're missing something or something's wrong with the board. And
the replacement board.
Yeah, with the replacement board, the brand new one. And I'm like, okay. So I go out and I'm looking and I go out on Friday morning, the next morning, and I'm looking at it and I'm screwing around with this boiler and I pull the burner out and I wash the burner and I reground the burner and I, you know, go through all the steps and he'd already put a new flame rod and a spark igniter and ignition wire and a spark ignition wire, spark electrode wire. I mean, he's already been down the steps, you know, and I'm like, what the heck? I stick my meter in between the two, yeah, to check, read flame signal, and I got flame signal. I'm like, what the heck? But the boiler doesn't, when I scroll over on this Lochinvar boiler, it doesn't show flame signal. And I'm like,
so you had a flame rod that was like, the flame rod was like shorted?
No, I mean, that's kind of what I thought. So I got a hold of tech support, and I actually got somebody at tech support that was super helpful. And it, you know, she kind of walked through it with me back and forth and was like, hey, you know, all this, that, and the other. And we get done and I'm like, I think I got a bad board. And she's like, well, I'm going to talk to my guys and see what they see. The thing that was throwing me off, and I don't know if I was just a total goose chase or not. The boiler never recorded any cycles, no ignition attempts. And I'm like, well, that's super weird. You know, yeah. What happens? And then, I was like, all right, well, so I call back to the supply house and I'm like, hey, you guys had two of these boards yesterday. And they're like, yeah, we got another one here. I'm like, sweet. So I drive the 45 minutes across town and I go walking in the door and they're like, oh, we can't find that board. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And they can't find it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So call the other supply house that had one 3 hours away. And so it's Friday, holiday weekend. This was Labor Day weekend, Friday. And I'm like, I need you to red label UPS this Saturday delivery. Okay. Yeah, we think we can do that. Anyway, so board shows up. I go up on Saturday and pop the board in and boiler fires right up. Boop. But this kind of goes back to my Instagram story that there was a couple people that were like, oh, post an update. Let us know what you found. And we'll do that. But what was interesting is the boiler, those Lochinvar boilers, and I don't know about the newer ones, the older ones, 16-year-old vintage, KBN 105, if it's a failed ignition, it doesn't count it as an ignition cycle. How weird is that?
Yeah, it's just dumb. Yeah, because it'd be useful to see that it had like 1,000 ignition cycles, but
right,
990 of them were good and 10 of them weren't.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't count the failed
ignitions. I don't know. That company, so, I'm telling you, sometimes none of them are perfect. That's all there is to it. Not even the one that we currently and are pretty well established with.
Yeah.
The Viessmann, whatever. Whatever. Parts kits, though. Anybody listening, we're going to wrap this up. Get a parts kit if you don't already have one. I mean, this should be basic. A lot of people would like totally understand that.
Right.
But you got a plane going overhead.
It sounds like it's landing in the driveway.
It's your luggage.
Yeah, it could be my luggage. Yeah.
Your luggage is arriving.
Airdrop it.
That's awesome. No, a lot of people listen to this and think like this is super basic stuff, and we're like, well, it is, except for I will say I bring it up and I emphasize it for the new owners out there, freshly out on your own. Maybe you started your shop during COVID, something like that. Maybe you just haven't got around to it, or you're hesitant because of the cost. I'm telling you, there's a huge value here. Everybody's got to start someplace. And if you are in this place where you have not done this yet, but you're out there servicing equipment and you're installing it, I'm a huge, huge believer. And I'm really not going to argue this. I don't think I'll change my mind on it. If you install it, you should be able to service it 100%. I believe that, but that's my own, credo. Should I call that a credo?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's on the Awny crest of arms, Awny plane crest of.
If you install it, you service it.
That's right.
Then your problem. Then there's like a lion, and it's like. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's an eagle on my crest.
Eagle with a pipe wrench.
Yeah, probably does have a pipe wrench, and I don't know what else is on my. I'll think about that. All right, I'm off track.
We out.
You're always. Squirrel. Yeah. All right, dude.
All right. See ya.
See ya.